Luke chapter 2 in the scriptures as we continue on our Christmas series on the gift exchange. I heard the story recently about a guy named Bob. And Bob was in a bad place because Bob forgot to get his wife an anniversary gift. How many of you have been guilty of that before? Don't get any ideas from this story, I'll tell you that right now. But his wife was very upset with him, understandably so. And she said, tomorrow morning, there better be something in my driveway that goes from 0 to 200 in 6 seconds or less, or that's it. You're gonna get it. And boy, the guy got the picture. The next morning, the guy woke up. He went to work, and when the wife woke up, lo and behold, out in the driveway, there was a beautifully wrapped box, a gift-wrapped box there, and she was very curious about it, so she threw on her bathrobe, and she ran out to the driveway. She picked up the box, brought it inside, and opened it up, and lo and behold, a brand new bathroom scale. Consequently, Bob has been missing since last Friday. You know, all of us have some things in life that we'd like to exchange for something else, okay? There's my segue for you there. And this Christmas season, God has placed it on my heart to challenge our church with making some spiritual gift exchanges. All of us, our lives can become filled with toxic things, things like loneliness and depression and despair and sorrow and grief and anger, and I could go on and on and on. Our lives so easily become filled with these things. But thankfully, God has given us a way to exchange all of those toxic things of life with things that only He can give to us. And as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at several of these examples. Now, last week, we discovered from Isaiah chapter 9 how you can exchange your stress for peace. And if you didn't get to hear that, I hope you go back and listen to it online sometime because that is a needed message. But today, here's the big truth I want us to look at. You give God your sorrow, and you receive His joy. Can we say that out loud together? Let's say it together. Give God your sorrows, and receive His joy. What a great exchange. And that's an exchange that I believe all of us should be willing to make during this season. Now, two of the most popular words that we often describe this season with are happiness and cheer. You just listen to Christmas music. It'll get you in a good spirit, unless you're a Grinch, okay? Or an Ebenezer Scrooge, all right? But just something about this season that people expect there to be a season of happiness, a season of cheer. And yet the reality is what many people experience during the season of Christmas and Thanksgiving in particular are misery and hopelessness and sorrow. It's so easy for that to happen. In fact, the suicide rate always goes up during this particular time of the year because of that very reason. This is a hard season for a lot of people. And many of you are among the people whom it is hard for. It's hard for the person who is experiencing their first Christmas, or maybe their second, or maybe their third, or maybe their tenth, without that loved one that always made it special for them. It's hard for the person who longs to have a family of their own when God hasn't given them that opportunity yet. It's hard for the parent whose child is estranged from them, whose child is distant from them, and they cannot be together during this season. There are a lot of other reasons I could give for why this season is hard for a lot of people, but suffice it to say, it's easy to fall into a very negative complex during the season of Christmas. Reminds me of the old Charlie Brown Christmas movie. How many of you have seen that movie? All right, if you haven't, you need to get right with God. The altar will be open at the end of the service, okay? The Charlie Brown Christmas movie, and that movie, Linus was talking to Charlie Brown, and Linus tells Charlie Brown, he says, Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. And I think a lot of us are guilty of having a Charlie Brown complex when it comes to the season of Christmas. And yet when we go 2,000 years back to a little town called Bethlehem, what we discover in that manger and on the hillside just outside Bethlehem is a spirit of joy that permeated the air. And I want us to look again at the message that the angel declared on that day in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Understand something. The message that the angel declared when Christ entered into this world was a message of joy. It was a message of gladness. It was a message of cheer. It's the best news the world has ever heard. The most joyful proclamation that has ever been given. God has come to be with us, and God has come to save us. What better news could there be than that news right there? It's a message of joy. And this Christmas, I'm going to challenge every single one of you as we look at this passage of Scripture to exchange your sorrow, whatever it may be, for the joy that only Jesus can give to you. And I recently heard the story about a Presbyterian church that did this. Now, if you didn't know it, they tend to be a little bit more quiet and reserved in those services. It's not too different from a lot of you Baptists, all right? I couldn't pay some of you to say amen, all right? So that's what we're going to do. All right? I'm going to choose Kenny to help me with this because I think you're a great person to help me with this. I want you to go around and find 10 people in here, 10 people. I mean, look at the people that they just look like they've never said amen once in their life. Nah, I'm just kidding with you. But, well, you can do whatever you want. But all I have here is I've got 10 balloons. Now, they're not tied off. And all I want you to do is at some point in this sermon, when you feel joy in your heart, you let her fly, okay? You just take this clip right off of here. And if somebody's letting off balloons, you'll know what's happening. Now, if somebody walks in the service late today, they're going to have no clue what's going on. It's going to be great. All right? So you go ahead and start walking around and find 10 people. And whenever you get a balloon, all right, whenever you get a balloon, you just let it go. Whenever you hear something and it blesses your heart and your heart is filled with joy. That's my experiment for today. And so we'll see how well we do with this experiment. The rest of us, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, the story of the shepherds. We're going to discover the spirit of joy that was brought into this world the moment that Jesus Christ entered into this world. And I want you to notice with me from the Scriptures three ways that you can experience the joy of Jesus this Christmas. So if you're taking notes this morning, write down number one. The first way you can do so is in the message of joy. I want us to notice the message of joy. Now looking at our text again in verse number 10, the angel declared the message. He said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Understand this, the message that the angel declared on that first Christmas was a message of joy. By the way, this was news that the world had been waiting on for hundreds of years. If you look in your notes at the prophecy from Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 9, thanks, Kenny. Oh, you got a baby one. Yeah, there you go. But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, that's funny right there, okay? You give Brother Shutt the baby one, all right? But Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, "The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Boy, the world was filled with joy when this news was declared that this child that had long been waited for had finally been born. There have been many times in my life where I have experienced joy when I heard certain news. I experienced joy in my heart when Emily and I received the news that we were going to have a child. In fact, every time we discovered we were going to have a child, it filled our heart with joy. I'm not like some of you who it was an uh-oh baby, okay? They were all planned, and God blessed us all with them, and it filled our heart with joy every time it happened. I remember when we came and candidated to become the pastor here, how much joy it filled my heart when we got the call. They called us back in, and they said, "We'd like to ask you to become the pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church." It filled my heart with joy. But there has never been a moment in my life that has filled my heart with more joy than the moment I heard the good news that Jesus Christ came to die for my sins and be my Savior. There's no better news than that news right there. Brother Shutt, you are right on key, all right? Thank you. Thank you. It's good news to know that Christ has come. It'll fill your heart with joy. And let's see why from our text. Why is it a message that fills our heart with joy? Well, first off, I want you to note here that it is a message that expels our fears. A message that expels our fears. What are the first two words that the angel said in verse 10? He said, "Fear not." Fear not. The message the angel proclaimed is a message that will cast out all of your fear. Now, ultimately, the greatest fear that every one of us should have, and I do believe that we do have this fear, is the fear of God's retribution for our wrongdoing. We all know in our heart of hearts that we deserve to be punished for the wrong things that we've done. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it says that the punishment or the wages of sin is death. All of us know in our heart of hearts that we are sinners and that we deserve to be punished for our sin. But what a message of joy that chases away this fear of being punished when we realize that Jesus Christ has come and sacrificed himself so that we could be saved from our sins. In your notes, you notice what the angels told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. He said, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "Christ came into the world to save sinners." How many are you thankful for that truth right there? Amen. Lord Jesus has come, and it is a news that it is a message that will chase out all the fear in your heart and replace it with joy when you realize Christ has come to save you, that God wants a relationship with you. 1 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 John 4:18 tells us that God's perfect love casts out all of our fear. You understand how much God loves you. This is a message of joy because it is a message that expels our fears. But I want you to see this as well. It is also a message that excites our faith. It's a message that excites our faith. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Well, what was the good news? The next verse tells us, "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The message of Christmas is a message of joy because it's the message of Jesus. It's a message of how Jesus Christ came down in this world to save us. We often refer to this as the gospel or the good news. "Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." See, the message of Christmas is a message of how God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, down into this earth to live a sinless life and one day be taken and crucified on an old rugged cross for the sins of the world. Every wrong thing you've ever done, Jesus was punished for it when he died on that cross, and he was buried and he rose again and he's alive today, and he can offer the gift of salvation to anyone who will receive it from him. Now, friend, that's the best news you're ever going to hear in your life right there. It is a message that excites our faith. And here's the thing. When you hear the message of the gospel, you understand why Jesus came and that he came to die for your sins. That is a message that calls your heart to believe in what Jesus has done for you. Once you hear the word of the gospel, then you're able to understand that you need to receive the gospel personally. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." When you hear the word of God about Jesus, you understand you're a sinner and that Jesus can save you. It can excite your faith to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, I remember the day, October 15th of 1999, when I heard the gospel. For the first time in my life, I truly realized I was a sinner and I needed Jesus to save me. And I also remember the joy that filled my heart when I trusted Christ as my Savior. My life has never been the same. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life, and it will be for you too if you've never called on Christ as your Savior. This is a message that can fill your heart with joy the moment you trust Christ. It is a message of joy because it's a message that expels our fear. It is a message that excites our faith. But I want you to see a third reason, and that is because it is a message that extends fully. It extends fully. You notice at the end of verse number 10, the angel went on to make clear that this was a message that was going to be extended to all people. To all people. It shall be to all people, the end of the verse says. Now, some people mistakenly try to teach that God only intends for some people to be saved. You know, I've done some intense study in the Greek. You know what the word "all" means? All. It means everybody. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The interesting thing is God desires for all people to be saved, but all people aren't saved, are they? All people haven't trusted in Christ as their Savior. The reason for this is because though God desires for all people to be saved, salvation can only come to those who receive the truth of the gospel. The Bible says in John 1:12 that for as many as received Him, Jesus, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, Christ has died for all the sins of the world. And yes, anyone who desires to be saved can be saved. But it is a truth that you must receive personally into your heart. So I wonder, has there been a day when you have personally received this message of joy, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because if there's not been a day like that for you, the Bible says today is always the best day. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I'll tell you, when you understand the message of Jesus, your heart will be filled with joy. So how can you experience joy this Christmas? We see message of joy. Number two, I want you to note down the means of joy. The means of joy. See, the shepherds came to experience the joy that can only be found in Jesus on that first Christmas. They experienced the means of joy. Notice, first of all, here there is joy in the person of Jesus. Joy in the person of Jesus. If you look at verse 11 with me, we'll see that the angel gave a very specific reason for why his message was a message of joy. Verse number 11 tells us this. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," and let's say the rest out loud together, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the reason. The angel's message was a message of joy. Now, so many people in this world, they try to find happiness or the secular ideal of joy in all different types of places. I can share many of these. I don't have time to share all of them, but an example would be Jay Gould, an American millionaire. He tried to find his joy in his wealth. Yet on his deathbed, he uttered these words. He said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on the face of the earth." He couldn't find his joy in his wealth as hard as he tried. I think of Alexander the Great. He tried to find his satisfaction, his joy in life, and his military conquests. And yet towards the end of his days, after he'd conquered the known world of his time, he had to relent and he said, "There are no more worlds for me to conquer." Couldn't find his joy there. Tom Brady, often attributed as the greatest NFL quarterback of all time. After he'd won his third Super Bowl ring at a young age, he was in an interview and he made this statement. He said, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something better out there for me?" He said, there's got to be something more than this. All these lost people were searching for happiness in all the wrong places. And I'll tell you this, there are many people who will try to find joy or happiness and presence in festivities, in relationships, in food, or whatever the case may be over this Christmas season. And sadly, they'll get through it and realize none of those things brought true joy into their life. People seek to find the joy the Bible speaks to us about in all the wrong places. All the while, the only source for true joy is where? Help me out. Jesus. He's the only source of true joy in your life. So understand, there's joy to be found in the person of Jesus. In your notes, John chapter number 15 and verse 11 is written there. And I want to read this verse out loud together. John 15 and verse number 11, it says, let's read it together. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." You know, Jesus came to fill you with His joy. He came to fill a place in your heart that no one else could fill. If you're looking for it in any other place than Him, you'll never find it, true happiness. You'll never find true joy in any other place but in the person of Jesus. There's joy in the person of Jesus. I want you to see, secondly, there's joy in the promise of Jesus. Joy in the promise of Jesus. Look down at verse number 12 with me in your Bibles. The angel goes on in his message to the shepherds. And he says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a what? In a manger." The angel told these shepherds where they could find joy because the angel told these shepherds where they could find Jesus. The angel indicated to them that they would go into Bethlehem and find this child wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a feeding trough for animals. Now, what a strange place for such a glorious child to be born. And yet the way Jesus came was exactly how God had prophesied he would come. Exactly how God had promised he would come. And the shepherds left that hillside that night with the promise of God on their heart of where they could find Jesus. And it filled their hearts with joy. And I'm not going to park here very long, but let me just suffice it to say, it will fill your heart with joy, Christian. And I'm talking to Christians specifically here. It'll fill your heart with joy when you start believing God's promises about Jesus. It changes your whole perspective. Now, that doesn't mean your circumstance immediately changes. Doesn't mean you see the answer right away. But when you believe God's promise to you, it changes your perspective. And it replaces your sorrow and your misery with joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning, the Bible says. How can you hold on to that? How can you have that kind of joy when you start believing the promises of God to you, even in the darkest night? Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." You can be filled with joy by the Lord when you start believing God's promises. Joy in believing. And so we find there is joy in the promise of Jesus. Now notice this next. There is joy in the praise of Jesus. Joy in the praise of Jesus. Look down at verse 13 with me. We find after these shepherds heard this glorious news about Jesus, the entire angelic host joined together. And notice what happened. In verse 13 it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying," and let's say it together, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What an awesome Christmas musical that must have been, all right? It was the first one that there ever was, and I don't think there's ever been a better one than that one on the earth. Can you imagine hearing the entire angelic host resounding the first Christmas song that was ever sung on that hillside outside Bethlehem? It must have been a spectacular thing to behold. And the truth of the matter is, when Jesus came into this world, it filled this whole earth with the joyful praise of heaven. It filled the whole earth with the joyful praise of heaven. Now, understand something. The Bible makes it very clear to us that Jesus is someone who inspires the praise of all of creation. All of creation. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Listen to me. One day in heaven, we're all going to be assembled in heaven with the angelic host, that same angelic host that was on that hillside in Bethlehem. And we're going to sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor and power and blessing." Jesus is the one who will fill our hearts with praise down through the centuries of eternity and even beyond. That is Jesus, and Jesus filled the world with the sound of joyful praise from the moment he entered this world, and throughout eternity, he will do the same thing. I want you to note this down in your mind, because I think sometimes in our churches we lose sight of this. Remember this. There's a level of joy that you can only experience through praise. There's a level of joy that you can only experience through praise. And I'll tell you this, when you really realize all that God has done for you, when you really get a glimpse of who God is, you will have no problem praising Him. But for many of us, the reason we struggle with praising is because we struggle with thinking of all that it is that God has done for us. I'm telling you, when you realize what God's done for you, you won't be able to help yourself. The psalmist said in Psalm chapter 66 and verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." And the Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Praise the Lord. There you go, right there. When you think about all God has done for you, it'll fill your heart with that joy. And I'm glad to hear y'all laugh when these balloons go. We need a little bit of joy in our service here. We're talking about it. Why don't we experience it a little bit? You think about the Lord's done for you, it'll fill your heart with this praise. One of my favorite things to do, and I love music. I know some of you say, I don't like music. Well, I don't know what's wrong with you. You need to get your heart right, okay? I think all of us like music. All of us aren't necessarily musically talented. But I don't think there's anything more precious than the church coming together in a local assembly and getting to sing the praise of God. Friend, if you don't sing when you come to church, you're missing out. I say, some of you say, Pastor, you don't want me to sing. I do want you to sing. And I don't care if it doesn't sound good. Because it'll do something for you when you start learning to lift up the name of the Lord in praise. I'm telling you, there's a joy you cannot experience in any other way than in singing praise to the Lord. I had a guy tell me one time his favorite hymn was On a Hill Far Away. All right? He likes to sing it On a Hill Far Away. But that may be you, and you may get your best worship time driving down the road when nobody else can see you. There have been times I've been driving down the road, and I'm getting way off track here, but I'm just going to go down the road anyways, okay? There have been times I've been driving down the road, and I have been crying, or I have been singing my heart out, and I'll look over. And that guy will be looking at me like, what is wrong with you? Sometimes we even have their phone out, all right? Like, look at this guy. He's crazy. He's out of his mind, but I don't care. God's worthy of our praise. And church, we need to be stirred up in this area because there's a joy that can enter into our fellowship together if we just start singing God's praise together. You see the joy that comes in the praise of Jesus. Notice this as well. There's joy in the presence of Jesus. Joy in the presence of Jesus. Look at verse 15 with me. It says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Understand, it wasn't enough for these shepherds to experience the news of joy. They wanted to experience the source of joy itself. They didn't just want to hear the angels talk about how awesome Jesus was. They wanted to go experience him for themselves. And so the Bible tells us that they packed up with all of their sheep and they hurried off that hillside and they went through the streets of Bethlehem and they found that stable and that manger where Jesus was lying. And there in that moment, they entered into the presence of joy himself, into the presence of Jesus. When they left that place, they were the same men they'd always been. Except for one thing, now they had experienced what it was like to be in the presence of Jesus. And that experience changed their lives. That experience, I don't know what was going on in their lives before that moment, but they left that manger with joy in their hearts because they had been with Jesus. And I say to you this morning, there is a major difference between happiness and joy. There's a major difference. Happiness is based on your external well-being, everything going well in your life and being favorable. But true biblical joy is based on your internal well-being. Happiness is a fleeting emotion, but joy is an enduring state of inner gladness. Adrian Rogers used to put it this way. He said, joy is the flag that flies atop the castle of your heart when the king is in residence there. When the king is there, when Jesus is there, and he's present in your life, you won't be able to hide the joy on your face. It's that flag that flies atop your life when Jesus is present there. And so when Jesus is present in your life, you have a continual reason for joy in your heart. Look down at your notes at Psalm 16:11. It says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And regardless of what the outside circumstances of your life may be, you can still have joy so long as you have Jesus present in your life. The story is told about two ladies who went down to do their laundry at the laundromat. And while they were going down there, they were washing their clothes. And while the clothes were washing, they were sewing a pair of their husband's pants, mending their husband's pants. And as they sat there talking with each other, one of the ladies just started to make observations about her husband. She's sewing his pants, and she said, "My husband is miserable. He goes to work, and everything seems to be going wrong. He comes home, and he's just not happy with how things are going in the home. And we go to church, and boy, he says the pastor's an idiot, and the singing is horrible," and he goes on and on about all these things. Now, sometimes that's true, all right? And she's talking about her husband. The other lady piped in and said, "Well, my husband is—he's a very happy man. He goes to work and he's thankful for a job, and he comes home and we enjoy such great family time together. And we go to church and he sings, and well, he just loves going to church. Our family loves going to church." And they're both talking about their husbands, and suddenly got very quiet in that laundromat. Neither of them really knew what to say after they shared their separate experiences. It was interesting that as they were sewing their husband's pants, one of the ladies was sewing the seat of the pants, and the other one was sewing the knees. That made all the difference in the world. I tell you, your perspective will be changed in life when you start spending time with Jesus every day. You want to exchange your sorrow and your misery for joy? You need to get off of your rear end and get on your knees and start spending time with the Lord. It'll change everything for you. We see the means of joy. The third truth I want us to see before we're done is the multiplication of joy. The multiplication of joy. And we're almost out of time, but let's look at the end of the story. Because the shepherds weren't the only ones to experience joy on that first Christmas. They weren't the only ones. And I want us to see two ways their joy was multiplied on that day. First off, write down, their joy was multiplied by what they saw. Notice what they saw. Verse 17, if you're still with me, say amen. Verse 17 says, "And when they had seen it," what had they just seen? Jesus, Mary and Joseph and Jesus in the manger. When they had seen Jesus, go down to verse number 20. It says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." When those shepherds personally saw the Christ child, it filled their hearts with a joy unlike anything else that they had ever experienced before. And boy, they came back from that experience changed men because they had been in the presence of Jesus. And I say this to you in summary, you simply cannot have an encounter with Jesus and not be changed. You cannot have a genuine encounter with Jesus and not be changed. Think about the day you were saved, if you have been saved. The day you came to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you've been saved, you came to know Christ as your Savior. Your entire life was transformed the moment you came to know Christ. But friend, after you get saved, you're not done being changed. See, those of you who have been saved, if you spend regular time with Jesus, He'll continue to do a work in your life, transforming you into the image of Christ. If you look in your notes at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I love this verse. It says, "But we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass or mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." If you aren't experiencing positive change in your life, I propose to you, it's because you're not spending time with Jesus. No Jesus in your life, no joy in your life. Those two things are connected. And so if you're sorrowful, if you're miserable with your current state of life, it could be for two reasons. One, it could be because you don't have Jesus in your life. You'd never come into a personal relationship with Christ by faith. Or number two, it may be you know Christ as your Savior, but it's been a long time since you've truly spent time with Him. No Jesus, no joy. Their joy was multiplied by what they saw. But here's the last thing I want you to see. It was also multiplied by what they shared. By what they shared. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know, the shepherds, they just couldn't keep it to themselves. What they had experienced, they couldn't help but share it with every person that they met. I kind of envisioned that they were probably talking to random people on the street in the middle of the night because of what they had just experienced. Because of what they had just seen, it was something that they could not keep to themselves. And I'll tell you this morning, joy is contagious. You know that? Joy is contagious. There's been many times I've been sitting in a group of people, and I have a hard time hearing. Some of you know this. All right? And everybody will start laughing, and I'll start laughing with them. Oh, this is great. This is great. And then at some point, I'll inevitably ask the question, what are we laughing about? And we're that way as human beings, okay? Why? Because joy is contagious. The British Medical Journal conducted a study that I thought was interesting. They interviewed 5,000 people. They watched them over a period of 20 years. This is an extensive study to gain insight on their internal happiness. And at the conclusion of this long study, here's what the observation they made. They said happiness not only spreads from person to person, but from person to person to person. In other words, joy can be extended to the third degree. Let me make sense of that for you. Husband, father, if you have joy in your heart, it's not just something that's going to be contagious to your kids and to your wife. You know what? That joy will also spread from your kids to their classroom at school. It'll spread to your wife, to the place where she works, or to the people that she ministers to. Joy is always contagious to the third degree. And that is a powerful truth. You have the joy of Jesus in your life. It will not just bless you, but it'll bless your family, and it'll bless the people who are influenced by your family as well. When you have the joy of Jesus in your heart, you can't help but spread it. Think of what the apostles said in Acts 4:20. They said, we can't help but share the things that we've seen and heard. And God, give us a revival of that kind of joy in our heart during this Christmas. You know, despair is also contagious. Misery is also contagious. But it's not quite as contagious. Joy extends to the third degree. Misery only goes from person to person. And how much better to exchange your sorrow, your misery, with joy this season. See, it won't just benefit you, but it will be multiplied to the benefit of all of those whom your life touches as well, if you'll exchange your sorrow for the joy of Jesus this Christmas. Now, at the beginning of the message, I passed out some balloons, and I instructed you all to release them at some point during the message if your heart was filled with joy. Some of you are thinking, oh yeah, I forgot about that, okay? I won't pick on the ones who haven't released them yet publicly. I'll just pick on you after the service, okay? You say, Pastor, if you preach a better sermon, I would have released my balloon. Okay, I'll give you that, okay? I'll give you that. Here's the illustration. And by the way, those of you that didn't release it, you helped me with my illustration. Thank you, all right? You were given everything you needed to express joy. You're given that balloon. Some people chose to release it. Some people chose to hold it in. Can I say, based on what we've looked at from the scripture today, you, Christian, have been given every reason in the world that you need to have joy in your heart. The only question is, are you going to let it go? Or are you going to hold it in? Because if you're experiencing true joy, one of the greatest privileges we have as believers is that we get to share that joy with our families. We get to share that joy with the people in our workplaces. We get to share that joy with our community, what Jesus has done for us. And I want to challenge you this Christmas season to exchange whatever type of thing that is in your life that's making you miserable, filling your heart with sorrow. I want to challenge you to exchange that for the joy that only Jesus can give to you during this season. Let's all bow our heads together. You have a choice. God has given you every reason to have joy. Will you receive it? Will you share it with others? The choice is yours. A friend, perhaps the reason that you have no joy today is because you don't have Jesus truly in your life. And I know there are some of you in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's no joy in your life because you don't have Jesus in your life. There's never been a day in your life when you personally Not just heard about Jesus, but you personally understood who Jesus is and what he's done for you, and you received him as your Lord and Savior from your sin. I say this to you as compassionately as I can today. Listen to me. If that is you today, we want to help you come to know Christ as your Savior. In a few moments, we're going to have an invitation, and in the back of this auditorium, we have men and women who are standing and are ready to lead you to another room and take a Bible and show you how you can know Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Now, if you are, your heart is being spoken to by the Lord right now, and you know that you need to talk to them, you know that you need prayer, you know that you need Jesus in your life, I'm going to pray in just a minute, and I want to pray for you. Regardless of whether you get up and go back there, I want to pray for you. Because you know you need Christ in your life. And if that's you this morning, you'd say, Pastor Bruce, I need Jesus in my life. I'm not sure that I'm saved, and I want you to pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? I'd like to do so during the service this morning. Very good. Very good. Christian, let me talk to you for a few moments. Your balloon has been filled with the joy of Jesus. But have you been letting it go? Or have you been bottling it up? You truly understand who Jesus is and what he's done for you. It ought to fill your heart with such joy that you can't help but let it be expressed through your life. And how many of you would say, Pastor, God's really spoken to my heart. I struggle with joy. I'm allowing other things to take the place that Jesus can only fill in my heart. And God has spoken to my heart about my joy tank today. It needs to be refilled. If that's you, would you raise your hand as a testimony of that? Many hands. Thank you for that. You can put your hands back down. Let's all stand together as we pray.